Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
If you are a dreamer, come in. If you are a dreamer, a wisher, a liar, a hoper, a prayer, a magic bean buyer, if you're a pretender, come sit by my fire. For we have some flax golden tales to spin. Come in, come in.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the October 9th, 2019 edition. It's a Wednesday night. I'm your host, Michael Amadei. I'm here with the co-host, the man who keeps everything moving, Mr. JT. Mr. JT, how are you, sir?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's been a beautiful day outside.
Yes, it has.
And it's going to be dropping about 10 degrees per hour from here on out.
Yes.
And overnight, it is about to drop down to what they say, the teens or the 20s?
Teens. Potentially the teens, I think.
Potentially the teens. The terrible teens. And it's going to be snowing overnight. Which means we're battening down the hatches.
Yes.
What hatches there are left to be battened down.
Right.
And, we're getting... I'm
preparing for that inch of snow.
You know, I think that might even be an overestimation.
Right.
But it's one of those things when I don't count on it, I'm like, it didn't snow, and I walk outside barefoot.
Yep.
And that's the story of my life, basically. Yeah. Welcome, everybody. We're happy you joined us. It's a quiet night. Obviously, there's several reasons. One being that, it's kind of a new thing to do Wednesdays. We're just kind of seeing how it catches on. We really appreciate everyone taking the time. However, it's also Yom Kippur. So there's a few people we know won't be involved, and that's absolutely just fine this evening. JT, you had some good music, some good choices.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
of course. You. So tonight is really going to be about poetry. You know, the things that we usually do on Fridays, we want to kind of keep on the Fridays. That way we can make sure that we're keeping up with the schedule as we need to. But before we get into that, I just want to mention a few things that we kind of mention at the top of every show. One, we are still accepting submissions for the 2019 World Poetry Open Mic Anthology. It helps us support the show. And if you want to support us, you can through poetry. It is absolutely a great way to support the show. And we love it. We put it up before Christmas. It makes a great gift. And everything goes directly to fund the show. Of course, we also have a new album. The new album's dropping, JT.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, new album drops October 25th.
Yeah.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Woo!
New readings with music. And there might even be a cameo by Busta Rhymes, but don't quote me on that.
Oh.
Because there's probably not a cameo by Busta Rhymes.
Would be awesome, though.
It would be, because I've been wondering where that guy is.
We could always do the wrestling thing.
What's that?
Busta Rhymes will be featured. Card subject to change.
You know what?
I got sold on a lot of wrestling cards.
Is that's how it was done, huh?
Yeah. So-and-so is going to be there.
That's shaky.
Yeah, really.
Okay, maybe we won't do that then. All right. And then, of course, we're here on Wednesdays. But we're also here on Fridays. So
yes, we are.
If you're talking to any poets you think that might not be able to make Friday but could make it tonight, just let them know. You know, we were doing this for the rest of this month. We're just testing it out. Nothing's permanent here. Nothing's permanent here at World Poetry Open Mic, except for the fact that we're just going to be on the air talking anyway. Now, of course, we're still doing Friday nights at 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, as well as we do 6 p.m. here on Wednesday nights. Before we get into the call-in segment, I'm going to read the rules very quickly, as we always do. Rule number one, no hate speech. We never do that on this show. We never have. We never will. Rule number two, please keep your work PG-13. We want to make this a family-friendly environment. However, if it's art We're not really in the business of censoring that. We might let it go. But if it gets gratuitous, we might suggest you read it during the After Dark segment that we do on the first Friday of each month. Rule number three, please be prepared with your poem when we come on the road. That is the on the phone. I've been up a long time today. So have
I
you.
Understand.
So have you. when we get on the phone, please just be ready. It's just respectful to everyone. Rule number four, please keep the work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. That doesn't necessarily mean we won't talk a little bit over that, but just try to keep it right around there. And rule number five, we love your comments. We love your suggestions. So please let us know about them. But the best way to do so is by sending them to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form on worldpoetryopenmic.net. The reason being is that we are ADD AF. That's a technical term. And we like to be able to read them later and actually discuss them. Otherwise, we might forget.
Yes.
Anything you'd like to add, sir?
No, I think we're good.
Awesome. Well, I got these tearaway pants, so I'm going to take care of business while we get the callers in for the first segment. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
Yeah, here we are in the first segment. I don't know why I keep doing that. I haven't watched.
Maybe you are Skeletor.
You know, I'm not that jacked. But actually, if you took my skin off, I might be.
Maybe that's the trick.
How is it that he? Where's his face? Where's Skeletor's face? And why is he so jacked?
I'm telling you, you got to watch the show. It gets explained.
It explains it?
Yeah. Especially the new adventures of He-Man.
Okay, the fact you know that, I don't know why that freaks me out, but it I'm going to look this up, actually. Hey, we're here in the first segment, and we have four awesome callers. And so you know what I think we should do? Let's just get into it.
Okay.
That sound cool?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
So let's head to Michigan first. Let's visit with George. Cool. Good evening, George. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing just great. It feels like a Friday.
You know, it does to us too, but it's a little strange though. Doing it last week, it felt like a really short week. It elapsed.
Yes, I imagine. Especially with all the preparation you guys do and all that.
Yeah, well, yes, yeah, it's different.
I just got back last night from a trip out east. And New England and color is the color tour with my wife and so forth.
Yeah.
I did notice, and maybe Cynthia knows something about this, but if you live around here, the shortest way to go, like above Boston, you know, Maine or Boston, and that way is to go through the lower part of Ontario, go through Canada, and come out at Niagara Falls. It's so much shorter. But I noticed going through the, into Canada the other day that they're building some sort of wall.
Are they going to put a moat around that wall?
they better.
Okay.
But tell you, I think it's a smart thing to do, actually. you know, no Americans welcome pretty soon we're at that point.
I know. You know, we got to understand, when you realize that everyone is trying to get in here and we need to protect anybody coming in here at all costs, you know what it reminds me of, George? It reminds me of, like, taking your car to a mechanic and they start finding any possible way they can try to charge you thousands and thousands of dollars. And
that's
so
right.
We have
that's
someone
right.
who, you know, comes in and goes, you know, we really just need a wall. You need a wall across the entire border, every single border. You just need an entire wall. Wait a second. Aren't you a contractor? What is this? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Well, glad you got to go see that. That's sounds.
Yeah. And I'm glad you're back. I missed here, we'll see what it was. The Friday show, but I just now heard most of it on the archive. Thank you for playing that song. Oh,
of course.
And I enjoyed the poetry, so I won't. Now, the one I picked here is a little longer than usual. It's only 82 pages long.
Oh, okay. That's nothing then. Yeah, don't worry about it.
It's really, It's probably more like 6 or 7 minutes, actually, this thing. And it's not by me. It's by the great Robert Service, who, of course, was an Englishman that went off to the Northwest, the Yukon, and wrote a lot of his poetry about that period. And it was, you know, sort of a raucous frontier kind of poet in many ways. And this one is, I know that JT is going to like this one, and I think it'll become self-explanatory as it moves on. You may have heard of this one. I think we read it in college or in school, but it's called The Ballad of Blasphemous, excuse me, The Ballad of Blasphemous Bill. I took a contract to bury the body of the blasphemous Bill McKee, whenever, wherever, or whatsoever the manner of death he die, whether he die in the light of day or under a peak-faced moon, in cabin or dance hall, camp or dive, mucklucks or patent shoon, on velvet tundra or virgin peak, by glacier drift or draw, in muskeg hollow or canyon gloom, by avalanche, fang, or claw, by battle, murder, or sudden wealth, by pestilence, hooch, or lead, I swore on the book I would follow and look till I found my tombless dead. For Bill was a dainty kind of cuss, and his mind was mighty sot. On a dinky patch with flowers and grass and a civilized boneyard lot. And where he died or how he died, it didn't matter a damn. So long as he had a grave with frills and a tombstone epigram. So I promised him, and he paid the price in good Chicato coin, which the same I blowed in the very night down in the Tenderloin. Then I painted a 3-foot slab of pine. Here lies poor Bill McKee. And I hung it up in my cabin wall, and I waited for Bill to die. Years passed away, and last one day came a squall with a story strange of a long deserted line of traps way back in the Bighorn Range, of a little hut by the Great Divide, and a white man stiff and still, lying there in his lonesome self. I figured it must be Bill. So I thought of the contract I've made with him, and I took down from the shelf the swell black box with the silver plate he picked out for himself. And I packed it full of grub and hooch, and I slung it on the sleigh. Then I harnessed up my team of dogs and was off at the dawn of day. You know what it's like in the Yukon wild when it's 69 below, when the ice storms will wriggle their purple heads through the crust of pale blue snow, when the pine trees crack like little guns in the silence of the wood, and the icicles hang down like tusks from the parka hood, when the stove pipes smoke breaks sudden off and the sky is weirdly lit, and the careless feel of a bit of steel burns like a red-hot spit, when the mercury is frozen ball is a frozen ball and the frost fiend stalks to kill. Well, it was just like that the day when I set off to look for Bill. Excuse me. Oh, the awful hush that seemed to crush me down on every hand as I blundered blind with a trail to find through the blank and bitter land, half dazed, half crazed in the winter wild with its grim, heartbreaking woes and the ruthless strife for a grip of life that only the sourdough knows. North by compass, north I pressed, river and peak and plain. Past like I dream, I slept to lose and waked to dream again. River and plain and mighty peak, and who could stand unawed? As their summits blazed, he could stand undazed at the foot of the throne of God. North I, north through a land accursed, shunned by the scouring brutes, and all I heard was my own harsh word and the whine of the Malamutes. Till at last I came to a cabin squat built in the side of a hill. And I burst in the door, and there on the floor, frozen to death, lay Bill. Ice, white ice, like winding sheet, sheathing each smoke-grimmed wall. Ice on the stovepipe, ice on the bed, ice gleaming over all. Sparkling ice on the dead man's chest, glittering ice in his hair, ice on his fingers, ice in his heart, ice in his glazy stare. Hard as a log and trussed like a frog with his arms and legs outspread, I gazed at the coffin I'd brought for him, and I gazed at the gruesome dead. And at last I spoke. Bill liked his joke, but still, gol darn his eyes. A man had ought to consider his mates in the way he goes and dies. Have you ever stood in an arty cut on the shadow of the pole with a little coffin 6x3 and a grief you can't control? Have you ever sat by a frozen corpse that looks at you with a grin and it seems to say, you may try all day, but you'll never jam me in? I'm not a man of the quitting kind, and I never felt so blue. As I sat there gazing at the stiff end, studying what to do, then I rose and I kicked off the husky dogs that were nosing about, and I lit a roaring fire in the stove, and I started to thaw Bill out. Well, I thawed and thawed for 13 days, and it didn't seem no good. His arms and legs stuck out like pegs as if they were made of wood. Till at last I said, it ain't no use. He's froze too hard to thaw. He's obstinate. He won't lie straight. So I guess I got to saw. So I sawed off poor Bill's arms and legs and laid him snug and straight in the little coffin he picked himself with a dinky silver plate. And I came nigh near to shedding a tear as I nailed him safely down. Then I stowed him away in my Yukon sleigh and I started back to town. So I buried him in the contract, was in a narrow grave and deep. And there he's waiting for the great cleanup and the judgment sluice head sweep. And I smoked my pipe and I meditate in the light of the midnight sun. And sometimes I wonder if they was awful, if they was the awful things I'd done. And I, as I sit and the parson talks, expounding of the law, I often think of poor old Bill and how hard he was to saw. End of peace.
I like that, George. I really did. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much, sir.
A little bit long, but that's all you guys.
Yeah, yeah, it's on us.
But very, very well, very well done.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I'll step on us and come back on the return engagement.
Sounds great, sir. We'll talk to you then.
Okay,
right.
Bye.
Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan, leading off our first segment. The first segment, JT. That's what they say. The first segment. At what point in the process of getting older do I begin to speak like this? I've been waiting for years now.
I don't know.
At what point do I become an old British man? It happened to Keith Richards. I swear that guy was from Jamaica first. I don't know what happened.
I wouldn't know.
All right, maybe Zach does. Let's go to New York. Let's visit Zach. Hello, Zach. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing really well. Thank you so much. What's the week been like?
It's been crazy because I've been finishing that book that I've been asked to read and then make into a screenplay for a movie. So
very good. It is.
So I finished it today. So it is going to be a very challenging, exercise in writing. But you have to do something to keep moving forward.
That's true. Usually it's usually it is paved with work and taking challenges one at a time. And you're doing it. I commend you for it.
Mm-hmm. And how are you guys? How's the week for you?
JT, you want to answer that?
My week has been short, busy.
And filled with people with gastrointestinal issues, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, not really. Not really.
It was the first thing he said to me when I came in here. He's like, so at work, there's all these people there. Most of the appointments have been there for GI. And thus began the epic of gastrointestinal issues, apparently.
Hey, in a couple of weeks, you'll be getting people about the flu and unvaccinated kids. And
see, there you go. CJT?
Always something to look forward to.
Yeah, the flu season, you know?
I got my flu shot this week, though.
You did?
I did.
Really?
Yesterday.
That's fascinating.
At work.
By accident?
No, I didn't stumble into it.
You're like, ow! Oh, no, this was horrible. I should have had this exposed needle in the hallway. But on the bright side, you just got your flu shot. On me, buddy.
All done. Yeah. By a nurse that I work with.
Oh, well, that's better than a nurse you don't work with in the place where you work. All right. Hey, have you had your flu shot yet?
I don't. More power to you guys. I don't do the flu shot because I have zero tolerance for pain.
Fair enough. You know what's interesting? And maybe I'll change it this year. I haven't over the last few years, including when I was working at a school. And here's why. Because everyone I saw who got the flu shot got the flu.
Flu, yeah.
I didn't get the flu.
Right.
JT says he didn't get it either. Fine, JT. Fine.
Okay.
Maybe I can accidentally wander into a nurse who's got an exposed needle in the hallway, too. All right.
Well, hey, I don't know how your systems work down in Colorado, but that's definitely not how the way it works up here.
It's the only way it works here in Colorado.
Yeah, you just wander around and
surprise,
a nurse randomly
surprise
jumps
shots.
Aha! Yeah. Right in your shoulder. And
they
that's
estimate
it.
That 95% of flu shots are actually administered by surprise during a haunted house.
That would actually be really interesting.
Yeah, I actually saw someone on Facebook saying that they had to pay $70 to go to a haunted house for tickets to a haunted house, and they said for $70, I bet going to a haunted house, I better get shot. All right, bye.
Do you go to haunted houses at all? Now, JT, do you go either? I mean, I don't know if either of you do.
No, I don't do well with jump scares, so.
Okay.
Nothing anyone can say about that. Like, that's fair enough.
Yeah. I don't usually go. From time to time, I have. I mean, you and I think went.
Did we go through one?
13th?
I didn't go through 13th floor with you.
Oh, no, it was Bobby and I. Sorry.
That makes sense.
With Amber and her friend.
Yeah, I didn't go through 13th floor.
Sorry.
Hey, you know, Zach, what I may suggest is if you go through one, you might want to take a fly swatter. I hear it really worked when someone jumps out. And you
one of those electric fly swatters that looks like
this. Even better.
So this
they
is
shock me, so I shock them.
This is a true story, and I feel kind of bad about this. A long time ago, JT, I think I told you this.
You have.
A long time ago, I was kind of talking to a bunch of people who owned haunted houses. And, you know, a lot of farmers and things will have haunted houses because it helps them kind of make ends meet. And I suggested, I said, you know what would be really cool, I've never heard anybody do, is put plants, people, in with the groups going through. So what could happen is you have someone who's in the group who's wearing plain clothes walking through, and then they get attacked by one of the monsters, and it suddenly looks real. And they were like, oh, that sounds really cool. Good idea. This one guy goes, I'm going to do it. So then I never hear from him. So I finally reach back out to him a while later saying, hey, how did it go? He goes, it didn't go well. It wasn't good. And apparently the reason is that the monster came out and attacked someone the first few days they were doing it. And an off-duty Marine happened to be in the group and just instantly sprung into defending the person against the monster. And it was a horrible idea. So I almost single-handedly brought down several haunted houses without even being there. This is why I'm not allowed to go to anymore.
Well, yeah, hey, you know, we all have hidden powers, apparently. We didn't know apparently you have the power to bring down haunted
houses.
That is
why I will never be a superhero, Zach. That's the worst power ever.
don't know. They're about, you know, turning everything into gold, apparently, is a bad power, too.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that. Unless you got some really killer gloves. Anyway, I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to let you read, because I feel like I've just been going on and on and on and on and on.
And he has, and has. And... Oh, sorry.
All right. I'll talk to you after, okay? The stage is yours.
Okay. All right. So this one is called Time is Like Death. I don't know what I'm doing, but that's okay. I have time to think about what I want to say. And so do you. Time is like death. It's not really an enemy or a friend. It's just always been there. No real beginning or end. We're so worried about the things we can't control, let's focus on the things we can. Take the time to focus on what makes you happy, and you will be a better man. End of poem.
Yeah. That's why I'm always a better man and a happier man on Tuesdays, on Taco Tuesdays, as they say. No, actually, Zach, really enjoyed that one.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm only, you know, time is really infinite. Like, you know, we never really had an understanding. We will never have an understanding. Like, at the beginning of time, it's just, it's always been there, and death has always been there. And, you know, it's not really discriminatory. It's not really an enemy, and you know, it's not really a friend. It's just, it just exists.
Yeah, true. It's kind of like being upset at death is the same as kind of being upset at a rock, really. It's like trying to ask a cat to tell you its life story. Like, it just doesn't matter.
Although I have a feeling that some cats' lives would be pretty interesting.
Oh, I'm sure, but I feel like every time I sit there and I'm like, "Hey, cat, tell me your life story," which I do on a regular basis, by the way. They just look at me, and I think they're thinking terrible thoughts. I don't get that impression from death, but I get the impression that it's about as useless, about as useful for me to try to talk to them as it is to try to, you know, have any feelings about it.
Well, look how it worked for Edgar Allan Poe.
You know, good point.
Lenore.
Hey, trust me, I'm completely locked in the world of Edgar Allan Poe right now. So
that he is.
Yeah. So. Anyway, Zach, appreciate you, my friend, and we will talk to you during the return engagement. Okay.
All right.
Talk to you then. Thank you. And that was Zach calling from a magical land known as New York.
Wow, I just totally locked up my computer. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, you did. What happened?
Look at that. It's awesome.
What is that? Well, it looks like
I just hit one too many buttons.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, you wrote my favorite number down.
Yeah. Good stuff.
All right. Hey, let's go. It's okay. It's in order. Okay. So let's head now to Vancouver, British Columbia to visit with Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi.
Hello. Good evening. How are you?
Pretty good. This is so much fun to be here on a Wednesday.
It's a little different, isn't it? It's much quieter, though.
The sun's still shining here. It's cold out, but it's still sunny and beautiful.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
What a great show this is.
It's been great so far. Now, how cold is it where you are?
Well, I don't like – well, it's always – I never get to complain because everybody else has it worse. Like, we're not getting snow yet. But every day my phone tells me it's 2 degrees Celsius colder than yesterday. I don't really want to know that.
Well, and that's – you know, today was 80-something, but it's going to be at least by 11 or so tonight, it'll be in the 20s. And so I had to cover all the kinds of things up, but – either way, you know, it's getting colder. It's just part of it. No big deal.
Yeah, it's life, but I don't like being told it's getting colder before I even start the day.
That's a good point too, isn't it?
This is such a great show. It's Canadian Thanksgiving this weekend. We do it earlier because it's technically colder here.
Oh, okay.
The ground is earlier. But it's really cool. George read the poem, one of the poems that we always read on Thanksgiving. My grandmother had a Robert Service book, so we would just read those poems.
No kidding. That's cool.
Yeah, no one else does that for Thanksgiving, but we do.
I was going to say, every Canadian? Really? That's amazing.
No, it's like a weird tradition we have that we would memorize all those poems and read them at the cabin. So, such perfect timing that he read that.
That's awesome.
I think that's great. Now, let me ask, I have a feeling that there is a Thanksgiving tradition that we both share, which is that we get together with family and friends. We eat. And I'm sure that at some point there's grumbling about the government. I mean, is this a tradition in Canada as well?
Yeah. And they always put elections right around Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
We have one coming up, too. But and all the rules are always like, no one bring it up.
Oh, see, that's probably a good rule, I think.
Yeah, but no one, people don't follow the rule, though. They're like.
Of course they don't. Yeah.
That's where like all the pie and drinking and everything come in to help.
It's one of those things where that is one of those moments where I start hearing it and I go, okay. And I just get up and walk away and go play with the kids or something.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Cynthia, what do you have for us?
So you guys know I'm doing my dream job right now. I'm for 2 months I get to be the writer in residence in Richmond, which is really close by. So I'm teaching sensory writing, and so I'm going to do a cover of the poem I like to use to open up my workshop. This is Please Come Home. It's by a woman named Jane Hooper. Please come home. Please come home. Find the place where your feet know how to walk and follow your own trail home. Please come home. Please come into your own body, your own vessel, your own earth. Please come home into each and every cell and fully into the space that surrounds you. Please come home. Please come home to trusting yourself and your instincts and your ways and your knowings and even the particular quirks of your personality. Please come home. Please come home. And once you are firmly there, please stay a while and come to deep rest within. Please treasure your home. Please love and embrace your home. Please get a deep, deep sense of what it's like to be truly home. Please come home. Please come home. And when you're really, really ready, and there's a detectable urge on the out-breath, then please come out. Please come home and please come forward. Please express who you are to us and please trust us to see you and hear you and recognize you as best we can. Please come home. Please come home and let us know all the nooks and crannies that are calling to be seen. Please come home and let us know the more that is there that wants to come out. Please come home. Please come home. And when you feel yourself home, please welcome us too. For we too forget that we belong and are welcome. That we are called to express and fully be who we are. Please come home. Please come home. You and you and you and me. Thank you, Earth, for welcoming us. And thank you, touch of eyes and ears and skin, touch of love, for welcoming us. May we wake up and remember who we truly are. Please come home. Please come home. Please come home. End poem. A cover by Jane Hooper.
Very well read, Cynthia, as always. I love the choice, too.
Oh, thank you. I get so much peace out of that. And when I do my workshops, usually one of the people in the class reads it, and we just kind of take a moment to just come into our bodies and be present to where we are.
Yes, absolutely. It's funny to me because I heard a phrase once that we all go to sleep and wake up, wake from sleep, no matter who we are, as we wake and go to sleep as a child. And I thought that was a really interesting phrase. But then I also realized that when we wake up, there's still this kind of need to, at least for me, to spend some time and actually try to return to myself before I venture out into the world. I need to make sure I am firmly connected with who I am and where I am before I move into the world. And I know that sounds kind of esoteric and a little out there, but to me, it makes all the difference.
I think that's so important. And even when I used to be a nanny a long time ago, I used to, before I went into the house, I'd take a moment on the doorstep to just find my best energy, be present to who I am, decide what I want to bring into the house. You know, I think interactions with children are sacred.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we always need to come back to ourselves. And I think that's where our writing is, too.
Oh, absolutely. Very much so. And I think, you know, one of the best conversations I have with people who write or have written books and things is when we start discussing that the reality of writing a book has so much more to do with having to organize your thoughts than actually sitting down and doing the writing. The harder part's organizing all your thoughts, I find anyway.
Anyway, thank you so much for having me on the show. Kind of taking a lot of time here.
My fault, Cynthia.
You're fine, Cynthia.
Feel like, you know, it's a slower night, so we can sort of extend it a bit.
That's kind of what I'm doing, but at the same time, JT is keeping a counter going, and I keep looking at it and going, oh, most of that's my fault. Okay.
But thank you so much for having me on the show tonight.
Of course. Thank you so much.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks. And that, ladies and gentlemen, that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Not Columbia, British Columbia.
That is correct,
sir. Not the U.S. Virgin Islands, not even the British Virgin Islands, but British Columbia.
Wow.
I'm always really impressed.
With your geography skills?
The thing I kind of like is, like, why don't we just have, like, British Argentina closer to the North Pole? I mean, why not? Let's just call it whatever we want.
True, we could.
We got German Argentina down in the
south. Well, we have New York as opposed to Old York.
It's true.
New Jersey as opposed to Old Jersey.
And we have the mysteriously named Newfoundland.
Yes. Yeah, mysteriously named.
Actually, when I was in high school, a friend of mine and I, we used to do video reports on historical things, and we did one on Newfoundland. But every time we talked about it, we referred to it as the mysteriously named Newfoundland. It was genius. See?
Oh, I'm sure.
It was genius. All right, let's go now to another place filled with genius. Let's go to Philip in Kentucky. Hey, Philip, it sounds like we're having that phone issue. That is our fault. I don't know what's going on here. Might be time for us to do a Skype uninstall and reinstall, maybe.
Okay. Philip, call us back.
Yeah, Philip, if you could give us a call back. There we go. Look. Oh, is he on top of it?
He is on top of it.
Look at that. So, you know, JT, I had this idea the other day.
Yeah.
Radio on the internet.
Radio on the internet?
Doesn't you think that sounds amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Be great. So, hey, Philip, how's it going?
I'm speaking to you in sign language.
We can hear you now, so thank you so much for calling us back.
Wonderful. I'm so pleased.
we are pleased too.
Oh, hey, the more the merrier. It's interesting being here on a Wednesday night. Feels about the same as last Wednesday, or a little different, or
We're a little bit more calm now, you know.
Not as panicky.
You got the next few days off.
Yes.
So he's looking forward to that. I have the next few days on. No, actually, that's not true. I'm going to be just drilling through this Edgar Allan Poe stuff. Philip, JT and I have completely gone against our standing rule about Octobers.
Yeah, and it's partially my fault.
So the thing had been up until, 2016 maybe?
Mm-hmm.
That I would get horribly sick in October if I was pushing too hard on a project. So we made the rule several years back that I am not doing any big projects in October. Until this year, and now it's like worse.
Yeah.
So,
but he's not sick because I don't think
it's the ninth.
Good point. I'm sorry.
We're working on it.
No, but I appreciate, and I also understand that very much so, especially when you're ambitious and hungry, and it's, you know, it's, you want to work. I'm happiest when I'm working, you know, quite honestly, I know what that feels like.
Isn't it strange? I was talking to someone about that today, a woman who she'd had children, and then she went to school, and then she ended up taking a job later, and she said, you know, after her kids went to school, she started realizing, I've got to work. This is too much. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a thing about us as people. However we're doing it, you got to work.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Because when I say work, it does not necessarily mean that I do this for, you know, peanut shells or money or spare change or cigarette butts or whatever. But I know that I'm happiest when I'm preoccupied with an idea. So
I think that's ultimately the thing, right? I think that's actually the name of the game. And then the rest of it is just going to, like, figure out how to get paid for it, you know?
But I should also say that I'll do quite a bit for animal crackers, putting that out there. You know,
I think JT's
especially if they're icing, you know, those pink icing animal crackers. Those are.
I think I've actually seen JT kill a man over a bag of chips. So that's a
good for you, JT.
Thank you,
that's
sir.
That's a man I can trust right there.
Hey, JT, you kill that guy, I'll give you a bag of chips. Righto.
Them fighting words right there, you know. Take my bag of chips, he will.
With or without the halberd.
Yeah, JT has every weapon from the Lord of the Rings series here, by the way. So
no.
This is we actually realize that is true.
Yeah.
It is actually that's a true fact.
Yeah, it's kind of odd.
That makes me. Is it the light of Elrond? I'm curious.
Yeah, yeah.
Then,
so you have what? Do you remember the weapons you have very quickly, JT?
The only things I don't have, how about that?
Okay.
Is Orcrist, the Goblin Cleaver.
Why don't you have that one?
Because that was the Hobbit, not Lord of the Rings.
But that's the one we need,
I
man.
Don't have it yet. Yet. I do want it, because I love the design of it. It's absolutely beautiful.
But this man was an aficionado. He doesn't have a Goblin Cleaver.
I know. Come on now. What are we supposed to do when the goblins show up?
But I do have the Shards of Narsil. I do have the Sword of the King for the return. I have Sting. He is sharp.
Uh-huh.
And he's sharp. He's in the back doing yoga most of the day.
Yep. Yeah. I even have an orc blade, which is horrible, but it works. It's like a machete.
Yeah.
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 It's
yeah.
awesome.
See, yeah. You have some elven blades too, yeah?
Oh, plenty, okay. Yes.
Anyway, so there you go, Philip. That is a rundown of JT's Lord of the Rings inventory of weapons there.
And Tolkien somewhere is going, yes!
All of my merchandising has finally come to bear.
Merchandising.
Dad, why are you spending all these hours creating this strange world and all these strange languages? Because one day... grown men will buy lunch boxes.
Right.
All right.
Well, wow. You guys put a huge smile on my face, and I want to tell you how red my cheeks are, but boy, they're red. Smiling away here. And don't worry, I'll bring us all down now with a poem. One of them poems. This is one that I'm sort of working on. I think it's almost finished, but it's sometimes good to share work that's, you know, almost there. And so anyway, here we go. The title, Award Ceremonies and Works Cited. And here we go. Snow brings a silence distinguished from the many types, restful as variations on blank spaces, unlived-in rooms, unmarred pages, unfurrowed brow before the enduring war of symbols and signs. Portents of a seminal work spilled across defaced rocks, gouged with names, boastful about conquests. Isn't almost everything in the human sphere soft or hardcore eugenics? Limited print edition postcards branded with your erudite experiences, pursuit, museums, and romance culled like erotic fruit throughout Europe. Credentials brandished inevitable, granted, there, but rife among them, licensed entitlement. Outside the amphitheater windows, gnarled winter trees write their cursive language. Breeze trembled shadows against the merciless white. And there it is, fellers.
Very, very well done. If it's a work in progress, it's pretty solid there. I'm looking forward to hearing when you decide that it's completed or at least to abandon the piece. I'd love to read it.
No, that's really spot on. I mean, I think, you know, there's this kind of notion that, oh, it'll be a perfect poem. And I'm like, there's no, I've not found one thing in art, even though Da Vinci gets close sometimes, or Rembrandt, there's no perfect piece of art. So it's, yeah, you usually have to kind of let go of it, I think, at some point. So, but thank you. No, I really do mean that. Thank you. I need to work on my sarcasm. I swear to God, there's things that fall out of my mouth sometimes that people are like, you're so sarcastic. And I don't even know when I'm being sarcastic sometimes.
See, that's kind of my problem, too. I'll be like, wow, this is... This is really remarkable. You should be very proud of yourself. They're like, man,
nobody
he's so mean.
They think...
This is the best sandwich I've ever had, JT. The best.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Woo. Okay. Hey, just be, I throw up when I love a, I love food. I throw up when I love it.
Got it. Okay.
All right. On to the next poet. And thank you so much for having me.
Of
Cheers
course,
to
sir.
Both of you.
Thank you. Cheers. And that was Philip Kahn from Kentucky, Land of Enchantment. Now we're good. Yes, JT just nods. I've never completed Michael's completely alternative.
You can't do it this month.
No, I will not do it this month.
Good.
I don't have time to do it this month.
No, no one has time to do that.
Well, someone has time to do that, but not me.
Not right now.
True. True.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We always guarantee two segments before we go to the return engagement. So we've already done the first segment. We're going to do a second segment. So only people who have not called, who still want to call, can call in this next one. And then we'll announce, of course, the return engagement. So the number is 720-240. I almost forgot the number. 240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype at the World Poetry Open Mic.
Rock the mic, rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic, hot. Hot, hot like this, I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
I don't think it ever truly occurs to JT that when he plays something like Eleanor Rigby and then Lenny C., and then me, that I have to follow that.
Good luck.
No, thank you. You're welcome. Loose wires back there.
Got
all right. Yeah, there's moments where JT really seems more and more like Scotty in the engine room. It does feel that way sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It really does. All right. Well, hey, we've got a great caller, someone who should have been in the first segment, but you know what? We're so happy he could make it, and he's the first in this segment. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, I made it.
Hey, we're so happy you did. Thanks for coming.
Yes, well, I wouldn't miss it. I have other things that have to get done before I get to the show, but here I am.
Well, we're really appreciative. Thank you so much, sir. So how's the week been going for you?
The week's been going real good. It's had some poetry this week, different places, and it's all good. You know, it just keeps getting better and better.
Wonderful. Happy to hear that. I'll just give you the stage, okay? I'll let you read, and then we'll talk after.
All right. Thank you. The poem I care to share with you, the title is My Wishes, If You Please. If Aladdin's lamp were to fall into my rightful possession, what would my three wishes be? I'd surely need used discretion. My wishes should not be used for my vain, selfish inventions, but rather for others, a blessing be, perhaps some healthy interventions. A wish that there'd be no homeless child, and that loving homes be their place, where they're secure, warm and fed, and have smiles of joy on their face. A wish the lonely all will have a friend to take their neglect and blues away, comfort them, and see their own worth reflected in a friend's eyes, I pray. My third wish would be for the lamp, that it only be used as it should, fall into the hands of compassionate souls to bless this world for a greater good. End of poem.
Very well done, sir. Very well done.
I like
that. Thank you.
Yeah. JT was really lost in that one, too.
No, that's good. You learn things about yourself when you get a power to pick three wishes, you know? It could be a defining moment for sure.
It really could.
I hope we would err towards compassion and goodness.
You would like to hope so, wouldn't we? Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes. What potential those wishes could have. And in the wrong hands, we know what bad stuff could happen. But let's lean towards the good and hope for the best.
I agree. I think JT does as well, yeah?
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well said, sir. So will we talk to you during the return engagement? It's about to happen from what I hear.
Yes. I'm the only reader in this segment?
You are, yes. We guarantee two segments, so we figured, well, that would be the perfect place for you. And then we'll end here.
Put me in the second segment. Send me in, coach. Send me in.
It's not the second string, the second segment. All right, hey.
It's all good. Like I say, it's all good. No problem here.
All right, well, I appreciate you, sir. Thank you. So we'll talk to you then during the return.
All right, then I'll step aside and let the show go on, and I'll say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis Kahn from Michigan here in the second segment. He is the beginning, the end, the alpha, the omega of the second segment. So now we're going to go to what's called...
Sorry.
We're going to go to what's called the return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. This is going to sound like a strange thing, JT. I feel like you and I are the kind of people who would fly around on an airship and have like a constant never-ending thing of like announcements and sounds and effects. And I'd be like, because we're the greatest pirates in the sky. And then there'd be a pause and I'd go, because we're the greatest pirates in the sky. Thank you. All right. Now it's time for the return engagement. Anybody who wants to call in, again, you absolutely can. Anybody who wants to call for the first time, the number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Hola, ¿cómo está? Welcome to the return engagement. What'd you think? Did you like that intro?
Yeah. We can.
What's another one we could do?
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. Welcome to the return engagement. See?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? I feel like there's two things. So I was thinking about, when do I become an old British man? Because to me, that is such a good voice when you become an older gentleman. To be able to speak like this really adds an entire elegance to the situation.
It can, yeah.
You know, like, it is nothing. Take me home. Right?
Right.
However, if you're faking it, it doesn't work. So that's a problem. So my question is, when do I naturally become that? Also, could I become instead an elderly Spanish man?
Hmm.
I used to study flamenco dance.
Like, oh, there's a good combo. Flamenco dance and English.
You must dance with your heart, Rodrigo. See?
Yeah.
Again. At some point in my life, I will just change my voice entirely to be like this. If it just, hello, everyone. My name's Michael. Why do you talk like that? I don't know. Trauma, perhaps. You're writing in the chat room while we're talking here?
I have to.
I can't see what's going on here. Right? I feel like
I'm a little blind, huh?
No, I didn't have that tab pulled up, actually.
Well, you know, I've got tab, window.
You have two monitors, my friend. I have two, but you control one of them.
Yeah. So technically, I have three.
Except one's facing away from you, which is a really strange thing. All right. Oh, you got four you control because you got four monitors. My gosh, man.
Oh, man. If I had it my way, I'd have six.
Well, let's figure this out, man. We've been doing this for 7 years now. Come on.
Ooh, one for each year.
Ooh. Whoa. Each year you get a new monitor?
Just add it.
Why do you have 53 monitors, JT? I don't even know what I'm doing with these things. I just started turning those off years ago. All right.
Wow.
So we've got some great callers lined up here for the return.
Yes, we do.
So we're just going to get straight into it. First of all, we're going to go to Kentucky, and we're going to visit with Philip again. Hello, Philip. How are you, sir? Welcome back.
Hello.
Hello. Yes. Hello.
Can you hear
me? Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yes. We're definitely here. We're definitely here. So what do you have for us this time?
I selected a piece by Franz Wright. That is the son of, I believe, Charles Wright. Both became poets. So, and in fact, his father is briefly mentioned in this piece. But his name is Franz Wright, and this is from his collection called Earlier Poems. And the poem I'm reading in particular is called Asking for My Younger Brother. And here we go. I never did find you. I later heard how you'd wandered the streets for weeks, washing dishes before you got fired, taking occasional meals at the Salvation Army with the other diagnosed. How on one particular night you won $400 at cards, how some men followed you and beat you up, leaving you unconscious in an alley where you were awakened by police and arrested for vagrancy, for being tired of getting beaten up at home. I'd dreamed you were dead and started to cry. I couldn't exactly phone Dad. I bought a pint of bourbon and asked for you all afternoon in a blizzard. In hell, Dante had words with the dead, although they had no bodies, and he could not touch them, nor they him. A man behind the ticket counter in the Greyhound terminal pointed to one of the empty seats where someone who looked like me sometimes sat down among the people waiting to depart. I don't know why I write this. With it comes the irrepressible desire to write nothing, to remember nothing. There is even the desire to walk out in some field and bury it, along with all my other so-called poems, which help no one, where each word will blur into earth finally, where the mind that voiced them and the hand that took them down will. So what? I left the bus fare back to Sacramento with this man and asked him to give it to you. And there it is.
Very, very well done. Great read there.
Well, thank you.
Love the choice.
Thank you, sir.
Of course. I would be a silly goose if I didn't tell you that I appreciated it, because I did.
Well, I think that goes likewise, and that goes to you too, JT. I don't want Michael to get all that fame and glory. You know, spread it around a little bit.
I am Achilles.
No, really nice to be here, and it's interesting to trying out this Wednesday night thing. And I will be back next Wednesday, and I will also be back before the Wednesday this next coming Friday. So
wonderful!
Thank you so much, guys, and thank you for the show.
Hey, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you on Friday then.
All right. Cheers.
Bye. Cheers. And that was Philip Kahn from Kentucky, helping me bring out my inner demigod. I am Achilles. I don't lift my finger unless it's for my glory. Achilles did not speak that way, by the way.
I hope not. Would have been a little weird.
I don't lift my finger if it's not for my glory. That just sounds like a guy who's going to get destroyed in a fight.
But maybe that was his his hook.
He comes up, he's like, okay, here, hand me my, the sword's a little heavy.
Right, you
and
know.
Then something, bah!
Totally trolling them.
Yeah, totally. See, I can see that work.
Yeah.
Instead of like, Achilles smash. You know, it just doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Gronkowski. So JT and I, for anybody who follows football, really quickly, we've laughed a lot about the New England Patriots.
Yes.
And one of the things is because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick apparently have this, you know, just really in-depth knowledge of offense and just really deep strategy. We loved that for a long time. When things got really rough, their strategy just was to toss it to Gronkowski, the big dumb guy who just knocked everybody over. That's the epitome of strategy. I don't know. Give it to the big dumb guy.
Yep.
I don't know if he's dumb. Just the big guy. He ran like, if it's possible to run like you need a little education, he did. And I don't think it's possible to run that way except for him.
I don't know. It also seemed like, you know, whenever he gave pressers outside of NFL during the seasons and stuff, it was like the elevator didn't go to the top.
Yeah, I got that too. But I feel like he is smart, though, because he's not in it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
Hey, we're sports talk here, apparently.
Okay. Well, you know.
All right. So let's go to our next caller in Michigan.
All right. So
a man named George. Hello, George.
Hey there. I think that, you know, we see somebody like Achilles and we think of this booming voice, and I think he really had a voice like Peter Lorre.
Yeah.
You know, or Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, or Tiny Tim, like from Tiptoe Through the Tulips, you know.
Yeah. You know, the thick, big club speaks softly to Gary Bixton. Okay.
Exactly.
My treasure's my poem is, after such a long one, at first, this is quite brief. It's called Distant Storm at Dawn. 5 a.m., I wake to see a huge lightning storm, some 50 miles off, too distant to hear the booming. I wanted to hear its rumbles. A lone firefly roamed the garden. Too late for last night's mating mixer. Sat outside with coffee, too much to rejoin my bed. Intrusive streetlight, too dominant to see the sunrise. I wondered where I might have been with other choices long ago. I am that morning lightning bug, the storm no longer seen. Too late to change my flight. End of peace.
I really like that one, actually. And that last line was really something. Very affecting.
Yeah, I sat one morning and saw a lightning bug, and I said, have you got your watch on right?
Yep.
And especially since lightning bugs light up because they're trying to mate.
Yep.
You know, anyway, the irony of it all is, and my sixth sense of humor matched up, so. Anyway,
I think it worked very well. Of course. Thank you.
I'll listen through the rest and see you also on Friday.
Sounds good. We'll see you then. Looking forward to it, George.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan in our second spot here in the return engagement. Now we're going to travel once again to a land known not by its age. Well, kind of by its age. It's York, but not the old York, the new York. Let's go to Zach. I think that was a great intro, but I'm not exactly sure. Hey, Zach, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? It's York. It's New York, old York, you know. It's just, like Newfoundland.
Yeah, you know, it's like, what is Newfoundland? Who? Why is it called Newfoundland? And you go, I'm so sorry, you don't understand.
See, I found it. New. Sorry.
We will name this the Newfoundland. I'm sure nothing's ever been named that before, sir. Good idea. Anyway, what do you have for us this time, Zach?
Well, we were talking about earlier about that you were talking earlier about you know, going to sleep and our bodies when we sleep and everything, and I actually wrote a poem about that. So this is that poem. It's called New Skin. Today is ending, so tomorrow can begin. Tonight, your eyes will rest as you grow your new skin. This is something that our body does every night, so we can have the best chance to keep fighting the good fight. In the morning, you might not feel the best, so make sure you have enough energy to take on the day by eating breakfast. Your body will do whatever it takes to make sure you survive, but it's up to you to take care of your new skin so you can thrive. End poem.
I totally agree. I absolutely agree. It is our important, or it's one of the most important things we do, which is take care of ourselves.
And it's crazy, and it's hard for me because I have severe sleep apnea, and you know, so I didn't realize how bad it was when I went to go get tested, because I had fallen asleep at the wheel twice. Ooh. and like rolled over twice, and the one night I was coming back from filming a short video, and I almost ran into a stoplight, or, you know, so I almost missed my turn, and, yeah, but luckily I woke up in time, and I'm like, okay, I gotta do this, and when I did the test, I stopped breathing for 10 seconds or more, 150 times a night.
Yep. Wow.
Yep. I totally know what you're talking about.
Did you go through the same sort of thing?
Yes, I did. I went through a long sleep test, and
they were like, you literally did not breathe for the last 4 hours.
It's kind of weird. I woke up more than I didn't breathe. I woke up about 200 plus times an hour.
That's crazy.
And then, are you on a CPAP, Zach?
I am. You know, sometimes, you know, it just doesn't help some nights. But I mean, you know, I think it's actually going to help me with weight loss too, because
yeah.
Obviously I'm not, you know, letting my body absorb everything, so. You know, it doesn't have time to digest and grow, but yeah, it's definitely a process. It's a lifelong process. But luckily insurance covers it.
Yeah, odd question for you. How long have you been on it, on the CPAP?
It's been about 2 years.
Okay. But when you got on it, did your dreams go back into color for you?
I'm still having. Actually, I was having nightmares before.
Okay.
But now I'm having. I'm having normal dreams now.
Okay.
But yeah, I've had four or five dreams where, I've actually had like died in car crashes.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, you know, But there was actually one that ended up funny because I was getting on the highway and someone rolled me off the road, and so I wake up and like 6 months after the accident, and looking over, and the guy who rolled me, who cut me off, was there, and It was Usher, and he was making out with my best friend.
Okay. Interesting. But, okay. Well, I'm glad you're taking care of it, because that is huge.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're taking care of you, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We had another sometime caller who had the same issue where he had passed out at his job.
Yep.
And I told him he couldn't go back until he got it under control.
Yeah. So.
Well, we'll get the next poet going, and it was good to talk to you guys as always, and we'll talk to you more next on Friday.
All right. Sounds good, Zach. Good talking with you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye. And that was Zach Kahn from New York. Talking all about, we were all talking about obstructive sleep apnea. It's a thing. It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Apparently one year, a few years back, before I started there at Notre Dame, the school I used to teach at, there were two fathers in 1 year who died from sleep apnea.
Yeah, especially if you push yourself, and it's kind of funny because you don't necessarily fit a body type for it. So you can be very thin and or fit, but you're just breaking up your sleep so much. It causes it. It's amazing. Anyway,
so what's this sleeping on the side thing? Does that do anything about it? Have you researched that at all?
I don't notice it anymore. I sleep on my belly.
Okay.
And then I wind up on my side. Last night I slept on my side.
But I was hearing you don't snore as much on your side.
No, it's kind of hard for your mouth, for your tongue to fall back to cause the snoring.
But you're not stopping sleeping either.
Typically no.
So if I sleep on my side,
yeah, if you can fix yourself that way, it would probably.
Well, I mean, my thing is I sleep on my side all the time.
Yeah.
But I think I do have it, though.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I do.
Okay.
Mostly because I scare the hell out of myself when I'm trying to fall asleep on my back.
I'm right there with you. I do the same thing.
All right. So this is good radio. Let's now go to someone who's not going to know how to handle this, although I'm sure she will do so with the utmost grace. Let's go to Cynthia in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Cynthia. Sorry about making you sit through that discussion.
No, it was really interesting about JT's dreams being black and white and then in color. I mean, that's fascinating.
Yeah, and it's odd, Cynthia, because I've done like weird little studies on dreams, and most people they'll dream in black and white, and anything in color is because they know exactly what that object's supposed to look like. I have always had dreams in color until my sleep apnea really started kicking in, and then it went black and white, and I got a full night of sleep once I got on my CPAP, and everything brightened up in my dream. I woke up, I was like, there's so much color. And I was
that
talking
sounds
about
like should
my
be
dream.
A short video.
It should. It really should.
I always dream in color. I only dreamed in black and white once because I think people told me they did, and then I did too, but I hope the color stays.
Wow. So. Yeah, I think I've done both. I mean, I've done a lot of black and white. But then again, I think a lot of that comes from me. It comes from a kind of a film way of processing things. I don't know. I feel like JT, your version of that would be kind of like Wizard of Oz, only a strange version.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who would be the leopard? Who would be the Lollipop Guild? Who do you think in your life would represent the Lollipop Guild?
I'd have to think about that.
Okay. So see, now that I've said that, you're going to be thinking about that quite a bit.
Yes, I am. Thanks, Michael. I'll probably wake up tomorrow morning going,
those guys. Michael collectively is the Lollipop Guild. All right. Cynthia, what do you have for us this time?
Okay, so I was going to read one of mine, but then when George did a Robert Service poem, it just reminded me of how my grandmother and I would always read these old poems, and we only had a couple books around the cabin, so this was one of the ones we had, was Robert Service. So this is the very first Robert Service poem I've ever memorized. It's long, but I think it will fit in the spot. So this is The Cremation of Sam McGee. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake Lebarge, I cremated Sam McGee. Now Sam McGee was from Tennessee, where the cotton blooms and blows. Why he left his home in the south to roam round the pole, God only knows. He was always cold, but the land of gold seemed to hold him like a spell, though he'd often say in his homely way that he'd sooner live in hell. On a Christmas day, we were mushing our way over the Dawson Trail. Talk of your cold through the parka's fold, it stabbed like a driven nail. If our eyes we'd close, then the lashes froze, till sometimes we couldn't see. It wasn't much fun, but the only one to whimper was Sam McGee. And that very night, as we lay packed tight in our robes beneath the snow, and the dogs were fed, and the stars o'erhead were dancing heel and toe, he turned to me, and Cap, says he, I'll cash in this trip, I guess. And if I do, I'm asking that you won't refuse my last request. Well, he seemed so low that I couldn't say no. Then he says with a sort of moan, it's the cursed cold and it's got right hold till I'm chilled clean through to the bone. Yet tain't being dead, it's my awful dread of the icy grave that pains. So I want you to swear that foul or fair, you'll cremate my last remains. A pal's last need is a thing to heed, so I swore I would not fail. And we started on at the streak of dawn, but God, he looked ghastly pale. He crouched on the sleigh and he raved all day of his home in Tennessee. And before nightfall, a corpse was all that was left of Sam McGee. There wasn't a breath in that land of death, and I hurried, horror-driven, with a corpse half-hid that I couldn't get rid because of a promise given. It was lashed to the sleigh, and it seemed to say, you may tax your brawn and brains, but you promised true, and it's up to you to cremate those last remains. Now, a promise made is a debt unpaid, and the trail has its own stern code. In the days to come, though my lips were dumb, in my heart, how I cursed that load. In the long, long night, by the lone firelight, while the huskies round in a ring, held out their woes to the homeless nose, oh God, how I loathed the thing. And every day that quiet clay seemed to heavy and heavier grow, and on I went, though the dogs were spent and the grub was getting low. The trail was bad, and I felt half mad, but I swore I would not give in, and I'd often sing to the hateful thing, and it hearkened with a grin. Till I came to the marge of Lake Lebarge, and a derelict there lay. It was jammed in the ice, but I saw in a trice it was called the Alice May. And I looked at it, and I thought a bit, and I looked at my frozen chum. Then here, said I, with a sudden cry, is my crematorium. Some planks I tore from the cabin floor, and I lit the boiler fire. Some coal I found that was lying around, and I heaped the fuel higher. The flames just soared, and the furnace roared, such a blaze you seldom see. And I burrowed a hole in the glowing coal, and I stuffed in Sam McGee. Then I made a hike, for I didn't like to hear him sizzle so. And the heaven scowled, and the huskies howled, and the wind began to blow. It was icy cold, but the hot sweat rolled down my cheeks, and I don't know why. and the greasy smoke in an inky cloak went streaking down the sky. I do not know how long in the snow I wrestled with grisly fear, but the stars came out and they danced about ere again I ventured near. I was sick with dread, but I bravely said, I'll just take a peep inside. I guess he's cooked, and it's time I looked. Then the door I opened wide. And there sat Sam, looking cool and calm, in the heart of the furnace roar. And he wore a smile, you could see a mile, and he said, please close that door. It's fine in here, but I greatly fear you'll let in the cold and storm. Since I left Plum Tree down in Tennessee, it's the first time I've been warm. End poem.
Beautiful read. I really like that.
Thank you. Yeah. So it was a long one. I think I freaked out my grade 7 class. We had to memorize a poem, and that's the one I memorized because that was the book we had.
you and I, that's very similar to what I would have done. I did that. I would always memorize like ridiculously long things and involved things. I think that's great. I think it's great. It shows kind of that we put a value on such things. You know, it's not because it's long, it's because it's meaningful.
Yeah, it has meaning. And my grandmother was so proud of me memorizing it and see all these bad words in it. So that was kind of funny. Anyway, thank you so much for indulging me.
Thank you so much. And actually, you know what? You just made me remember very quickly, Cynthia. We had a family gathering once. All kinds of people over. My youngest brother, James, who I don't know if you met. He was, I think, 13 at the time. Comes downstairs dressed in a tuxedo. And proceeds to read at a loud volume Howl by Allen Ginsberg to my entire family.
Awesome.
And that was exactly the response we had, too. Of course, more conservative family members couldn't believe what they were hearing. But, you know, we all thought it was great. So it reminded me of that.
Awesome.
Anyway, thank you so much, Cynthia. We appreciate you. And hopefully we'll get to talk to you on Friday, but we understand if not.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be there, too.
Okay. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Rounding out the number 4th spot here in this return engagement. But now we shall travel once again to Michigan. To the man who's been with us since the beginning. And Dennis, it sounds like we're having that phone problem again. I'm so sorry, my friend. If you could hang up and call us right back, we will take you on the air live. Sorry about that. Yeah, I think maybe
I'll run through an update or two.
If you wouldn't mind. I know you'll be here over the next few days, so hopefully you get a chance to. Okay, thank you, sir. All right, Dennis, welcome back. Sorry about that.
No problem.
All right. Well, we'll figure out what's going on.
I was entranced by Cynthia's reading. That's one of my favorite poems. What a great read, and what a great poem.
It really was. And she does it so well. I think that's really, she has her own way of interpreting things, which are lovely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She could read the phone book. It'd be lovely. But
very true.
That was a great poem.
Yeah. Agreed. So what do you have for us this time, sir?
All right. Well, I thought I'd read one I probably read before, but I'll share this one again. It's the Yellow Brick Salesman. I never thought of myself as a poet true, a word manipulator. Yes, that's me. I'd twist my words and make them all seem new, as I would follow form's due recipe. I like the praise I garner for my work and let friends think more highly than they ought. I built a reputation. It was a perk, for it was admiration that I sought. I have respect from poets round the globe. They come and seek my counsel and advice. Ignore the little guy behind the curtain robe and let my wizard ways your soul entice. I hide behind the radio mic of illusion, letting people draw their own conclusion. End of poem.
I like that. JT and I both kind of nodded and resonated with that one.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think all writers feel that one time or other in their writing career.
You know, I agree. There's something that I can't tell if I mentioned this on the show. I might have before, but I remember seeing. I think I did actually. I saw someone talking in an interview, and they said, "What is the most common misconception about you?" And they said, "There are no misconceptions about me." And I think that was kind of an interesting angle. But when I started thinking about that as a writer, you know, it is our job to try to communicate through our words and through our craft. But in reality, like, you kind of want people to make their own judgments based off that. You'd rather they don't put it on anything else but that work, in my opinion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You put it out there. It's not your responsibility how they react to it.
Yep.
But if they react favorably, you know, you like that too.
Of course. And it's always good when that happens, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of validating your work. It may be a false validation, but still, it's validation, and I'll take it.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, hey, Dennis, thanks so much for everything. We really appreciate it. We appreciate you taking the time and, you know, kind of hurrying through things so you could be here. And you're always appreciated. And we look forward to seeing you on Friday.
Oh, yeah, and I'm planning on being here Friday.
All right.
I'm sharing some stuff.
All right.
Good.
And I want to find – I need some more clues for that poet of the month. I'm not there yet. But don't tell George. He always gets ahead of me.
All right. I'll make sure they're all up, and I'll have some good clues for you for this next Friday.
All right. Sounds good, and I'm looking forward to it, and thanks – again, for letting us come visit your wonderful platform. It is wonderful. So I'm going to step aside and thank you again and say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, rounding out our return engagement segment. It's kind of a shorter night here on Wednesdays, but, you know, not that short, actually.
No.
Of course, I was going on slight diatribes with every single caller every single time.
You did.
But
that's okay.
That's okay, right? Okay.
That's right.
So, everyone, we want to say thank you so much for joining us. It really does mean a lot. It's kind of a cool little side get-together, but not less than the show on Friday. So, once again, we really appreciate you from myself, from JT, from Ursa, the studio dog, and Novia, the studio cat. We say thank you. We'll see you on Friday. And until then... as we depart, I'm going to entertain us all by reading Rudyard Kipling's Rikki Tikki Tavi in entirety. So good night and enjoy my new reading of Rikki Tikki Tavi.